Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we are back with another fantastic card this weekend as we have UFC Seattle coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. We got a banger main event. Henry Cejudo takes on Song Yadong. Dude, Song Yadong keeps getting big fights. I'd love to see the recognition. I don't know who to pick. There's a lot of 50-50 fights on this card. So I'm pretty sold on a couple of them, but there's some where it could go either man's way. So we have predictions and a full card preview for that on today's episode. As well, looking at some new UFC fights. Dana White is going live tonight on Instagram. So when you see this Thursday morning, February 20th, you will have already known the breaking news. So I'm going to try and give my prediction for what I think the breaking news will be in just a moment. Also, looking at top 10 new things in pop culture, been kind of weak. Can't lie, discussing film has not been giving me the best of pop culture news. I could really care less about award shows, though, so when they post that, I'm not exactly sold on it. We'll have to see, though. We got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about for you all today. I have a big, fun weekend ahead. I'm heading to visit my buddies in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, at college. After that, next weekend, Lexi's going to be visiting. We also have Elimination Chamber. Then after that, I'm going all the way to South Carolina on vacation. I may have another vacation coming up, which I need to get figured out. We have a lot of fun stuff coming up on the Surprise Jab Podcast. I say we get right on into things. Kicking things off, of course, with new UFC news. And, of course, we got to, you know what, we'll go over the official fights first. Then I'll do my fight prediction. So not fight predictions, my predictions for what Dana White is going to announce. And actually, another fight that's rumored to be going down. So first off, we have an official fight for UFC 315 in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And is at middleweight as the return of the Canadian himself, Marc-Andre Barriot. 5-8 in the UFC, 16-9 professionally overall. I mean, he's been okay. He's usually in a barn burner, but occasionally he'll just randomly get knocked out, which randomly happens, or he'll get submitted, but then sometimes he'll get a knockout. You never know what you're going to get with Marc-Andre Barriot. I'm glad to see the veteran getting a fight in Canada, but there's little to be loved about him at this point in his career. He's one bad knockout away from being cut. Nonetheless, he takes on Bruno Silva, who's 4-6 in the UFC. I have never seen someone with more abilities than Bruno Silva just be wasted. I mean, oh my gosh. Now, mind you, Bruno Silva's been taking on some great guys. Brendan Allen, who we're going to mention later. Sharamagomedov. He's also lost to, who else did he lost to? Alex Pereira. Alex Pereira, he went the distance with. Bruno Silva has also lost to Chris Weidman. Okay, so Bruno Silva has only really lost to the best of the best. So I think when it comes to this matchup, I'll be backing Bruno Silva. But 23-12 overall, majority of them knockouts. He has all the tools in the world, and then randomly his chin will just give out on him. So we'll see how that matchup goes. Here's one for you. UFC Vegas 104 going down March 15th. Josiane Nunez takes on Priscilla Cachoeira. Priscilla Cachoeira, another girl, so much talent in the world, just keeps running to absolute killers. As for Josiane Nunez, dude, she didn't even have a UFC win, and they put her in EA Sports UFC 5. How in the world is Josiane Nunez in UFC 5, and we don't even have, who's a good one? Who's someone good in the rankings, I can say. The fact Josiane Nunez is in UFC 5 before, gosh, you know what, they actually have done a pretty good job with this roster. You could say Yusuf Zalal, but I mean, arguably that's not too big since Yusuf Zalal just got a big win. But she was in the game before, honestly, they've gotten just about everyone on this roster. I'm going to say Roman Kopilov. I don't know, someone stupid like that. But you know, all I'm saying is Josiane Nunez is not the best. I would think she would win this, but at this point, I honestly couldn't tell you. Also announced, here's one that's phenomenal. UFC 315 has a women's flyweight matchup between the number one ranked contender, the former women's flyweight champion Alexa Grasso, back in action as she takes on the number five ranked Natalia Silva, who is 6-0 in the UFC. I'm pretty sure her win streak is at like 9 or 10 fights. She's been an absolute killer. Wins over Jasmine Justice-Vicious, Jessica Andrade, and Viviana Rujo. Natalia Silva is in a perfect career spot. And she finally gets the correct fight against Alexa Grasso. This is the fight that makes sense. This is a fight where the winner gets a title shot against Valentina Shevchenko and Manon Fiorot, which if actually, if I'm dropping a prediction, I think Manon Fiorot loses. Valentina takes on Zhang Weili. Zhang Weili wins the belt. You get a little trilogy there. I don't know what's going to happen, but Grasso and Silva, I love this matchup. I'm backing Natalia Silva. Okay, I know how good Grasso is. I know she is durable. I know she, you know, has gone the distance against Valentina Shevchenko now twice. But Natalia Silva, I'm just so high on her. And she's 26 years old. She's young. She's hungry. And I think week. She is a future UFC world champion. But that's probably been the biggest fight announcement actually made official over the last few days. Another minor one for you for UFC Kansas City going down April 26th. Women's bantamweight action is the number 14th ranked Chelsea Chandler finally gets a fight against the unranked Jocelyn Edwards. Jocelyn Edwards 14-6. Chelsea is 6-3. Neither of these women will make it high in the division, but nonetheless, they are still entertaining to an extent. Now, that's all official fights. Here's one where we know he's fighting. We know that the number 10 ranked, actually he's at number 13 right now, men's welterweight Carlos Prates, the Nightmare, will be fighting. It's just a matter of when he's going to be fighting. And I think it's going to be UFC 314. I think it's going to be against Jeff Neal, I think is how everything's looking to be aligned. And that was the call out he made after he knocked out Neil Magny. That's a perfect fight right there. I back Carlos Prates all day. That's an exciting fight that I'm actually going to be tuned in for. And the fact Carlos Prates has now been on the main card and been getting main events, I mean, this dude is a future global star, and I'm excited to see where his career goes from here. Now, as for Dana White's big fight announcement, which should be dropping sooner or later, it's currently 7:18 Central Time that I'm recording this at night, and I think it's going to be UFC 314, I think it's going to be Ito Pura, and I think some people are thinking Islam Makhachev. I'm going to go the Volkanovski rematch. I think they're going to go with the Volkanovski rematch, and I also think they're going to announce Alexander Pantoja versus Kai Kara France. I think those are the two fights that they have been building up. I think those are the two fights they're going to do. Other than that, I mean, you know, Bilal Muhammad News versus Shavkat, that's just going to happen. Islam's next opponent, I don't know. Islam versus Ia would be a huge shocker. My jaw would drop for that. They could also announce Marab taking on Sean O'Malley, which I doubt really. Now, some heavy hitters would honestly be John Jones versus Tom Aspinall being announced. That would be ballistic. They could also announce, dare I say, a Charles Oliveira fight, a Conor McGregor fight. But I think the best money's on Ito Pura fighting Volkanovski or on some insane world we see Ito Pura versus Islam Makhachev. I don't think we live in that world just yet. I still think we have some coming around before we get to that point. But I am excited for whatever Dana White announces. But we don't know yet. You know, when you're listening to this, you'll know. You'll know exactly what has happened. But as of right now, I can't tell you. So that's all we have for new UFC fight news. I think it's got to be Ito Pura, right? It has to be Ito Pura. If it's not, gosh, I don't even know. I'm excited, though. Dana White always keeping me guessing. Always is, always does. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's get right on into our top 10 new updates in pop culture. And we got some fun little updates for you here. First off, Bong Joon-ho's next live-action movie will be a horror action film set in an underground subway in Seoul. That's like my life project. This is a story I've been thinking about since 2001. Bong Joon-ho recently has directed a movie called Mickey 17. He also directed Parasite. I'm sure he has some other good ones that are escaping my mind, but I'm pumped for it. Truly, I'm pumped for it. This sounds like a cool movie, a horror action film set in an underground subway in South Korea. I mean, come on, sign me up. I still need to watch Parasite and Mickey 17 whenever it drops, but I'm in for it. I'm with you. Number two, Daniel Craig reportedly dropped out of a Sergeant Rock role due to scheduling conflicts. However, some say he soured on the role after Queer, his previous film with Luca Guadagnino, failed financially and in the awards section. So Daniel Craig's probably looking to rebound to some extent, and he's not looking to take on these risky projects anymore. Queer, just, I don't know what demographic, maybe the LGBT, maybe just film critics, but to the majority of young males like myself, we just don't really care for a queer story. And yes, it does have to do with the fact that it's not in our necessarily domain of interest, but I have no idea. I have no interest for me personally. We'll leave that there. Number three, Jack O'Connell has been cast in the Godzilla x Kong sequel, hitting theaters March 26, 2027. I gotta wait 2 more years for another Godzilla x Kong movie, and we have this guy named Jack O'Connell, who looks like any average white dude ever. Not that I don't, but just saying. Interestingly enough, I'm excited for it. I don't know what villain they're gonna do for the next film, but it's probably gonna be more Godzilla. Yeah, it's gonna be Godzilla x Kong, final testament. I have no idea. I'm excited for it. I love those movies. Number four, a new action thriller called Mutiny starring Jason Statham will release on January 8th, 2026 in select theaters. The film will follow a man who is framed for the murder of his billionaire industrialist boss and must go on the run. It's literally Jason Statham kicking butt. That's all you need to know. And that's all we really need. All right, it's absolutely phenomenal. So I'm really interested in The Beekeeper too. He was great as that in that role. He's also good as, what is he, Shaw in Hobbs and Shaw? I really wish they would have ran back Hobbs and Shaw. I liked him and Dwayne's chemistry. It's Jason Statham. He's entertaining nonetheless. Number five, Will Smith confirms I Am Legend 2 is now moving forward. He says, me and Michael B. Jordan have sat down for about a week and went through character stuff. I could honestly care less because we should just leave that movie as it is. There's no need to keep going over old movies, all right? Let's create new stuff. Let's create new stuff. Number six, Severance is now the most watched Apple TV Plus show, passing Ted Lasso. I'm currently caught up on Severance. Whenever I have time, I'm watching Ted Lasso. They're both phenomenal. They're both 10 out of 10. I love both of those shows. Heck, even after this, I might go watch a little Ted Lasso. We'll have to see. Number seven, what should we go with? Ooh, let's see. They got a couple of fun little updates here and there. First look at A$AP Rocky and Spike Lee's remake of High and Low. It also stars Denzel Washington, Jeffrey Wright, and Ice Spice. We brought that up last week. He's playing a criminal right now. That's pretty ironic, A$AP Rocky, because I recall you were a criminal when you were in Sweden when you decided to do some bad stuff, and Donnie T had to bail you out. Number eight, Microsoft has revealed Muse, a generative AI model of a video game that can generate gameplay visuals and controller actions. The AI model is designed for gameplay ideation, but could also be explored to bring classic Xbox games to modern hardware. Well, it was about time before Xbox got a hold of AI. Now they have AI, and now we'll see what they do with it. I don't really know what this means, if I'm being honest, but, I mean, interesting. Interesting nonetheless. We'll have to see. That's all I can really say for a lot of these. I never really know. Number nine, Jack Quaid shares a behind-the-scenes look at The Boys Season 5, the final season, and he's covered head-to-toe in blood, which means you already know it's going to be a absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal time. Excited for that. And number 10, the final news we have, Joseph Kosinski is set to direct a thriller described as All the President's Men, but with UFOs. Dave Grusch will serve as a consultant on the film. He is a former Air Force officer who testified before Congress in 2023 that the government has studied UFOs and bodies of aliens. Get out of town. I am completely locked in. I will be watching that. I will hands down be watching it. That is right up my alley, little aliens and stuff. I love the aliens. You know how it be. You know how it be, my boy. Yes, you do. All right, guys, that's all I got. That's all I got. I'm trying to extend this. There ain't much pop culture news, really. Maybe I'll have to do this once a week. I think that might be a thing. I compile the top 10 things throughout the week, not just the top 10 things that pop up as I scroll through my feed, but this brings us quicker to my favorite part of the episode, the climax, the main reason you tuned in today, and that is your UFC Seattle fight predictions. I'm excited for it. We got a lot of fights. We've had some short notice, fights being put together, if you want to put it like that. Let's get into it, drop our predictions, and look at all the fighters on this weekend's card. Kicking off the card, we head to the men's light heavyweight division as Modestus the Baltic Gladiator Bukakis is back in action as he takes on Rafael the Lion Cerquera. Modestus is 16-6, Rafael 11-1. Both men are 6'3". 2 inches in reach for Modestus, 78-76. A switch stance for Modestus, a southpaw with that left for Rafael Cerquera. Let's kick it off with Modestus, who is the -345 favorite. These odds have been shifting left, right, and center, but this is what we have as of right now. Rafael is a +230 underdog for this matchup. Modestus, 31 years old from Lithuania, but now trains in England. He has 12 finishes in his 16 wins, 9 knockouts, and 3 subs. Of his 6 losses, he's been finished 5 times, 4 of them by knockout. But Modestus, been in the UFC since 2020. He's came and he's went with his second run in the UFC. He's gotten 3-1 with his only loss to Vitor Petrino. Most recently, in July, he submitted Marcin Prachinia with a round 3 arm triangle in a very, very weird fight. He was, like, getting outstruck, but he was, like, still winning the fight. I don't know what was going on. Modestus has had an interesting UFC career. You know, he's ran into Khalil Roundtree Jr., Jimmy Crute, like we said, Vitor Petrino. But he's also been able to beat some of the lesser competition, Tyson Pedro, Zach Pauga. I like watching him fight. I like to root for him. We'll see how he does in this matchup as he takes on Rafael Cerquera. Rafael, 34 years old from Brazil. He has 8 knockouts and 2 subs out of his 11 career victories. And his 1 loss is by knockout. And he was actually had 3 canceled bouts before he made his debut, which he made on short notice in October when he took on Ibo Aslan and got knocked out in 51 seconds. So he wasn't actually supposed to take on someone to the caliber of Ibo Aslan, who we are actually graced with on this card. I mean, Ibo Aslan, I'm so excited for him. He's my prediction for biggest light heavyweight riser this year. But Rafael Sequeira just had a tough debut for him in the UFC when he took on Ibo. Now, in terms of what else I know, you know, Rafael, 11-0 on the independent scene, immediately steps in against the UFC guy, gets finished. Now, Modestus, he's been here. He's been doing this. I can see a variety of options happening here. I can see Modestus breaking him down for 3 rounds, getting the win. I can see Rafael going out and getting a quick knockout, but I just haven't seen that from Rafael yet. I've only seen him get just ran through by Ibo Aslan. I mean, it was brutal to see. I picked Aslan, so I was pretty happy, but I think you can see my point. I'm going with Modestus Bukauskas. I'm going to say by a decision or even a round 2 submission. I just think Modestus has fought in tougher opponents. He's more durable. He's more game to what the UFC has to offer. And as for Rafael, I just don't know. 34 years old, your first UFC fight was your first UFC loss. It's usually not a good start. Following that, we drop down to the men's middleweight division as Nursultan Blakhruzaboyev is back in action as he takes on Eric Mikhonkio. Eric Mikhonkio? I don't know. Nursultan, 34-9-2 with 2 no contests. This dude has had a lot of professional MMA fights. Eric is 9-2-1, and thankfully, the UFC has decided not to give us any stats on Eric, but Nursultan, 6'5", 76-inch reach. All we know is Eric is a southpaw. And is 9-2-1, making his UFC debut on short notice in this one. Or they just put this fight together pretty short notice. But let's get into what we do know about these guys. Nursultan Rusaboyev is the -345 favorite, +230 underdog again for Eric Mikhonkio. Nursultan, 31 years old from Uzbekistan, but now actually trains in Philadelphia. He has an insane 34 career wins. And he has 32 career finishes, including 20 subs and 12 knockouts. He's been finished twice in his 9 losses, once when he was submitted, once he was knocked out. He had a big win streak snapped last time out when he took on Joaquin Buckley. He was actually supposed to take on Renat Fakhradinov at UFC 308, but that fight fell through. So now Nursultan, he's back up at middleweight, which he was for his UFC debut when he finished Bruno Ferreira, and also when he beat Cedric Dumas. But then he took a fight at welterweight against Joaquin Buckley and pretty much got dominated for that fight. But looking where Joaquin Buckley is at now, that win has aged tremendously, or that loss, I should say, has aged tremendously for Nursultan, and he'll be back in action. And he'll be taking on Eric Mikhonkio. And Eric, I don't know what to say. 34 years old, he's on a little 5-fight win streak. Trains at the same gym in Arizona, the MMA lab, as Henry Cejudo, who's fighting in the main event. He has 7 finishes in his 9 wins, 4 knockouts, 3 subs, and he's 2 knockout losses out of his 2 career losses. So I don't know much about Eric. What I do know is that Nursultan Rusaboyev is an absolute killer, an absolute dog, and I think he gets another round 1 knockout here. Look, Nursultan is just game. He is game. He knows how to fight. He's also tall. 6'5" with that reach. I mean, I don't know how tall Eric is, but Nursultan has been significantly taller than all of his UFC opponents up to this point. I was going to pick Nursultan no matter what I saw from Eric. We are going to ride with Black Nursultan Rusaboyev. And after that, we get into a fight that came together literally today. Literally today I saw this and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I just wrote all my notes together, so I had to whip up some quick notes. But we have a short notice fight that's being put together between Nikola Veretenikov and Austin Vanderford, of all people. It's a very interesting matchup here, folks. Austin +135, Nikola -160. Nikola Veretenikov, 12-5, Austin 12-2, 6'1" to 5'11", gives Nikola 2 inches in height. We don't have any stats for Austin's reach. He is an orthodox fighter, 75 inches for Nikola. He is also a orthodox fighter. It's always goofy when they can't get these stats correctly. Kicking off with Nikola Veretenikov. He is 35 years old from Kazakhstan, but I now believe he trains in California. He has 9 knockouts and 1 submission win of his 12 career wins, and he's been finished twice out of his 5 career losses. And he was on a 3-fight win streak before he made his UFC debut and lost to Danny Barlow. He actually lost to Michael Morales by unanimous decision on Dana White's Contender Series in 2021. He since then went on the independent scene, got 3 finishes in a row, I think a knockout, an injury finish, finish and then a knockout. And then he took on Danny Barlow on short notice in August and lost a close split decision that could have gone either man's way. He's back in action now as he takes on Austin Vanderford. Austin Vanderford, 34 years old, from Florida. He's from 4 knockouts and 3 subs make up his 12 career victories. Both of his knockouts have actually came at the minute and 25-second mark of round 1, both of them by knockout. And he fought in LFA and Bellator. He is coming off of a round 1 finish in the LFA back in October. And fun fact, he actually won on Dana White's Contender Series in 2018 with round 2 submission and didn't get a contract. But Austin is most famous for being the husband of Paige Van Zandt. That's right. Your wife is actually known more than you, just to let y'all know. But I don't know what to do with this one. Literally made on hour's notice. I mean, this is 3-4 days before the event. So 3 days. 3 days before the event. And this fight is being put together. It's tough to say who will win. You know, Nicola, 10 finishes and 12 wins. Meanwhile, Austin has 7 finishes and 12 wins. But Austin, I just can't help but root for him. He's finally going to be in the UFC trunks. He has been fighting some tough guys in Bellator. I don't know. Nicola seems to be the guy we should pick, but he's 35. Austin's Vanderford. I guess I'm going with the younger guy. Give me Austin Vanderford by round 1 knockout. Take it to the bank. It may be controversial, but I'm going to say Austin Vanderford should have been in the UFC in 2018 when he won, and now he's here to prove it 7 years later, and he's going to show, hey, you shouldn't have passed me up. I'm here to prove myself. And I think they're fighting at 175. I don't know if these guys fight at, they would have to fight at 170 then, if they're fighting at catchweight at 175. I don't know. We'll have to see. This should be an interesting fight. I will be picking Austin Vanderford. Does he have a nickname? He doesn't have a nickname. We'll have to give him one. With that, we drop down to the men's bantamweight division, as Ricky Simon is in action against Javed the Snow Leopard Basharat. Love that nickname. Ricky 20-6, Javed 14-1 with one no contest. 5'6-5'9 gives Javed 3 inches in height. They both have a 69-inch reach and both stand in the orthodox fighting position. Ricky plus 215 is the underdog. Minus 315, Javed is the favorite. Ricky Simone, 32 years old. He's actually from Vancouver, Washington. Funny enough, so he's the hometown boy. 6 knockouts and 4 subs make up his 20 career victories. And of his 6 defeats, he's been knocked out twice and submitted once. Ricky, currently on a rough patch right now. Okay, 3 straight losses. Mind you, they are to Song Yadong, Mario Bautista, and Vinicius Oliveira. But, a stark reminder of how good he used to be when he was on a 5-fight winning streak. Tough to see for Ricky, but, been with the UFC since 2018. This is year 7 for him, and we'll see how he does. He's more of a grappler. We've seen it time and time again. He works better when he's a grappler. Don't be fooled by him knocking out Jack Shore and Rafael Sensa, or dropping them, I should better say. This man is a grappler as far as they come. And funny enough, he'll win over Rob Dovascelli and Montel Jackson, just to make matters even more random. But, when we look at the rankings, Ricky Simone currently has losses to Vinicius Oliveira, who is probably the number 16 bantamweight in the world. Who else does he have? Yeah, in the main event, the number 8th ranked Song Yadong, and the number 10 ranked Mario Bautista. So I would not hold these losses too much against him. However, it is kind of tough to be coming off of this losing streak and have any momentum. Now, the good news is the man he's taken on doesn't have much momentum either, and that is the Snow Leopard Javed Basharat, 29 years old, from Afghanistan, but now lives and trains in England. 11 finishes and 14 wins. He has 5 knockouts and 6 subs. And he was actually supposed to fight Chris Gutierrez on August 10th. That fight fell through. So last time he fought was in March of 2024, when Amin Zahabi handed him his first career defeat with a decision loss. Now, all I've seen from him, even on Davis Contreras Series, is he's a grappler. Sometimes he'll outstrike you, but really, he is a grappler. I don't know what Javed Basharat we're going to get. This is a big name for him. Javed, especially coming off a loss to Amin Zahabi. By the way, Amin Zahabi is the number 14 ranked bantamweight in the world, so he's very talented himself. It was a close fight, but I think everyone kind of looked at that fight and was like, you know what, Javed still deserves someone who has been in the rankings, on the verge of the rankings, and that's why he gets Ricky Simone. Now, I'm torn with this. I'm really torn, because Ricky Simone's the hometown boy. And there's just something about when people fight in their hometown, they appear to fight better. Now, I don't know why. I feel like I should be picking Basharat, but I'm yet to really pick any underdogs beside Austin Vanderford, who's plus 135. So this may be a ballsy pick here. This may be me going out on a limb, because I feel like everyone thinks Javed might win. But I'm going to go with Ricky Simone only because he's from Washington. That's honestly the only reason, is because he's from Vancouver, Washington. And as I look at the rest of the card, I mean, you have maybe one other fighter that might be from Washington. I actually think he's from the other Washington. So we're going to back Ricky Simone in this one. Decision win, maybe even a round three submission. Get a little shock going through the system. But I am going to be picking Ricky Simone to win this matchup. Get back in the win category. Come on, Ricky. I'll give you this shot. Because if he loses, they might cut him. I can't even lie. They're probably going to cut him if he drops this one. I would if I was the promoter. But hey, that's just me. Following that, middleweight action, and we have our biggest favorite on the card as Mansoor Abdul-Malik takes on Nick Blue Collar Klein, and Mansoor, minus 1,300, takes on the plus 580 Nick Klein. Mansoor, 7-0, 7 finishes. Nick Klein, 6-1 with 5 finishes. 6'2 to 6'1, Mansoor is 1 inch in height. He has 2 inches in reach, 79-77. Both men are in the orthodox fighting position. Mansoor Abdul-Malik, 27 years young from Maryland, 6 knockouts and 1 sub make up those 7 wins. And he's only ever been to a round 2 once in his entire career, and that was on the Dana White's Contender Series matchup where he ended up getting a round 2 TKO. Made his debut in November against Dusan Todorovic and got a performance of the night when he destroyed him in round 1. A beautiful, beautiful TKO. Dropped him, stayed with the ground upon. I mean, I'm talking, this guy wasn't going full ham. I mean, he was just tracking Dusko's head, landing ground and pound. This dude just looks scary. Scary when he's in the octagon. And Mansoor's bringing the momentum as he takes on Nick Blue Collar Klein. Nick Klein, 29 years old, on a 3-fight win streak. He's from Wisconsin. 2 knockouts and 3 subs make up those 5 career finishes in 6 wins. And his 1 loss was by knockout. But that wasn't for, I think it's been 2 years since that. He won a Damon's Contender Series in October when he got a 37-second rear naked chokehold. Of Geraldo Souza, I mean, quite literally took him down right off the bat, took his back, and submitted him. It don't get much more easier than that. Unfortunately for you, Nick Klein, I watched Mansoor Abdul-Malik fight. This dude is an absolute freaking savage, and I am not picking against Mansoor until he shows me otherwise I shouldn't, because he just looks phenomenal. Now, I didn't see much grappling from Mansoor Abdul-Malik in his last 2 matchups. I will be curious to see if Nick Klein throws that at him, which I think he will. However, I do think Mansoor clips his chin right off the bat, gets him out of there early in round 1. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a under 90-second knockout. That's how confident I am in Mansoor Abdul-Malik. He's also my -1,300 favorite for a reason. There's not a no-nonsense reason that he's not the massive favorite that he is. Keeping the action rolling, we head to the men's featherweight division as we get one of the closest fights, odds-wise, on this card, is Andre Touchy-Feely at -105 takes on Melquazel Melkothy-Costa at -135. Melkothy, what type of nickname is that? What type of nickname is that? I have no idea. Andre Feely, 24-11 with a no contest. Melquazel, 21-7. 5'11 to 5'10. Andre has 1 inch in height, and he has 3 inches in reach. Wow, 74 to 71. Southpaw with the left for Melquazel. Orthodox with the right for Andre Touchy-Feely. Andre, 34 years old, born in Washington, but now lives and trains in California. I'm going to be honest, I don't know if it was Washington, D.C. or Washington. Judging by the fact that they didn't say Washington, D.C. on Tapeology, I'm going to say he was born in Washington, but I don't know. 13 finishes and 24 wins, including 10 knockouts and 3 subs. And out of his 11 losses, he's been finished 6 times, 4 of those by knockout. Andre, been with the UFC since 2013. That's right. He was a young lad at 22 years old fighting. Actually, might have been 20 when he was fighting. And now he's still keeping it going. Andre Feely, he's had some fun opponents here and there. I mean, Yair Rodriguez, Calvin Kattar, Michael Johnson, Sodiq Youssef, Charles Jourdain, Bryce Mitchell, Jairzinho Brito. He's been fun. He's been going win-loss since 2022, though. Most recently did win a fight of the night at UFC 303 against Cub Swanson. And talk about a win that has aged beautifully. His loss before that was to Dan Ige. Then before that, round 1 knockout of Lucas Almeida. Before that, decision loss to Nathaniel Wood in a very competitive fight. I think Andre Feely is one of the best fighters that will never make it into the rankings. Okay, he's like the Jim Miller of some of these divisions. This dude is always in a war, always brings it. When you see the guys he loses to, I mean, Joe Anderson Brito is another name that knocked him out. He's only losing to top featherweights on the planet. So, Andre Touchy-Feely, I'm going to go with the fact you're born from Washington. We'll see how you do against Melquazel. Worst nickname ever, Melkothy. It's definitely Brazilian for something, but nonetheless. He's 28 years old from Brazil, 14 finishes and 21 wins, 7 knockouts, 7 subs. Of his 7 losses, he's been finished 4 times, 2 by knockout, 2 by sub. Made his UFC debut in 2023, where he was submitted by Thiago Moises. Then he wins a decision against Austin Lingo. Then gets finished by Steve Garcia. Then, in June of last year, got a round three submission of Shaylin Nurdiambeek. Look, Melquazel, I think, beats the lower levels in the featherweight division. Anyone even close to the top, I'm not picking him against. Give me Andre Touchy-Feely, and maybe his home state. Maybe he's from Washington. I don't know. But Andre Feely, I've seen fight numerous times, and I'm liking his odds for this one. Here we go, boys. This is where the action picks up, though. Men's light heavyweight action as we head there. All right. The former top 10 guy here, as Ion the Hulk Kulaba takes on the last Ottoman, Ibo Aslan. I am so high on Ibo Aslan. I'm such a fan. I am buzzing for this matchup. The Hulk, 18-10-1 with one no contest. Ibo, the last Ottoman, 14-1. And by the way, on those 14 wins, he has won 6 in a row, all by finish. 6'3 to 6'1, Ibo's got 2 inches in height. Also has 2 inches in reach, 77 to 75. Southpaw for Ion, orthodox for Ibo Aslan. Interestingly enough. The Hulk, Ion Kudalaba, plus 130. The last Ottoman, Ibo Aslan, minus 185. Ion is 31 years old from Moldova, but now trains at Extreme Couture in Las Vegas. 15 finishes and 18 wins, including 13 knockouts and 2 subs of his. 10 losses. He's been finished 7 times. 4 of those by sub, 3 of those by knockout. Most recently, one in September against Ivan Erzlan. Got a decision win over him. Good stuff. So he's coming off of one win. He went 1-1 in 2024. Ion is just, I mean, he's always had so much potential, and that just turns out he's just not as good as everyone thinks. So listen to some of the losses he's taken. Misha Serkinov, Jared Cannonier, Glover Teixeira, Magomed Ankalaev twice, Dustin Jacoby, he had a draw against, Ryan Spann, Johnny Walker, Kenny Chukwu, Felipe Lin. So you can kind of see he's been losing to top guys since the beginning, but he's also been losing to some guys he should not have been losing against. Ion Kudalaba has really been leaning more on the grappling his last few fights, especially last time out against Ivan Erzlan. Clearly, I thought the power lied with Ivan Erzlan in the fists, and then he'd just get taken down repeatedly, and it got so repetitive and boring. Everyone was kind of like, oh my gosh, is this going to end? It did not. Nonetheless, Ion Kudalaba coming into this one with a win, so he's coming in with a little momentum. Good for him. Now, the man I think will win, the 28-year-old from Turkey on a 6-fight win streak, 14 wins, 14 knockouts. His one loss was by sub. That was 3 years ago. The last Ottoman, Ibo Aslan. Ibo coming into this one. I mean, he got a round one knockout on Dana White's Contender Series. He knocked out Anton Turkalcic in March of last year in a fight of the night. And most recently, he knocked out Rafael Sequeira in 51 seconds. I think Ibo Aslan is the future. I think he's a future top 10, top 15, top 5. He's going to be a future champion one day. Give me Ibo Aslan round one knockout. It's right there for me. I've seen Ion Kudalaba be knocked out in round one before too. It can happen. Truly, it can happen. The only way Ibo gets a little bit caught off guard is if Ion's able to land some takedowns here and there. I don't know. It's always a mix when these guys step in the ring or the octagon, and you never know which style they're going to bring. Ion, he's brought the fist before. He's brought the grappling before. All I've seen from Ibo is the fist. I mean, 14 wins, 14 knockouts speaks for itself. It'll be interesting to see what comes about when this fight takes place, but I'm excited for it. I'm expecting a round one finish. Fireworks right off the bat. And let's keep those fireworks rolling as we head to another light heavyweight matchup as the number 15th ranked light heavyweight in the world, Atomic Alonzo Menifield, takes on Julius Juicebox Walker. Julius Juicebox Walker. I love that name. I love that name. Flat out. Alonzo, he is 15-5-1. Julius 6-0. Undefeated coming into this one. And they don't have Julius' stats updated. There are so many short notice fighters on this card. So many debuting fighters. UFCStats.com is screwing me over right now. And by the way, it doesn't even load on my laptop. 6 foot for Alonzo, 76-inch reach. Both men stay in the orthodox fighting position. That's all you really need to know. Alonzo, minus 255 for the ranked competitor. Julius, plus 175. Not too bad. Not too bad of an underdog. Alonzo is 37 years old from Texas. Of his 13 finishes, 9 knockouts and 4 subs. Of his 5 losses, he's been knocked out 3 times. Oh no. He was actually supposed to fight Omar Sy on March 22nd of this year, but for some reason, he's now taking on Julius Walker. I couldn't tell you why. Alonzo, been with the UFC since 2019. I mean, he's taken on Ovin St. Preux, Misha Serkinov, Jimmy Crute. He's had some fun matchups here and there. He is on a losing streak, though. He is on a losing streak now. There is a reason for this, as he's taken on the number 6 and number 12 fighters in the men's light heavyweight division, Carlos Ulberg and Osmat Mirzakhanov, who both were just clearly better than him. clearly just no skill. The difference in skill was very adamant. That was in August, so we've had a bit of rest time for Alonzo Menifield. And he'll be back, and he'll be looking to turn the tide against the 25-year-old from Missouri, the Juice Box. Julius Walker stepping on short notice here. Of his six wins, four knockouts, two subs. Five of his six wins have came in round one. Good stuff. That's really all I can say. Really all I can say there, I mean, it's tricky. It's tricky at times because he's 6-0. He could be an absolute killer. I don't know anything about him. As far as I'm concerned, you're coming from regional MMA and you're going to suck. That's my opinion right off the bat from you. So Alonzo Menifield is finally not fighting someone who's not in the top 15 of the division. I think he gets back to it. Round one submission. Give it to him. He's going to hit a nasty head crank. That's what I think's happened. A little up against the cage head crank, a little Ryan Spann, a little Michelle Pereira style for Alonzo Menifield. Gets the win, gets the dub, goes home, greets his girlfriend, and all's good in the world of Atomic Alonzo Menifield. Another good one here. This UFC Seattle crowd is absolutely spoiled with banger fights. Let me tell you that right now. As Gene Silva, that's right, Gene Lord Silva, back in action against the gun, Melsik Bagdasaria. Gene Silva, he's my prediction for biggest riser in the men's featherweight division. This dude is nothing but action. Nothing but action. He fights at lightweight, too. I mean, he'll fight you at any freaking division. I'm hoping he stays at featherweight since Mauricio Ruffi's been fighting at lightweight. I think that's what's going to happen. They're training partners at Fighting Nerds, by the way. Gene Silva, minus 795 and growing as a favorite. Melsik, plus 430. Gene Silva, 14-2. Melsik, 8-2. 5'9" to 5'7". Melsik does have 2 inches in height and an inch in reach. 70-69. Southpaw with the left for Melsik. Orthodox with the right for Gene Silva. Gene Silva, 28 years old from Brazil, is on a 11-fight winning streak and has 13 finishes and 14 career wins. 11 knockouts, 2 subs. He's never been finished in his 2 career losses. And he's 3-0 in the UFC. 3-0 in the UFC, all of them nasty finishes. Knocked out Weston Wilson in his debut, knocked out Charles Jourdain at UFC 303, and beat Drew Dober to a pulp. They had to stop the fight in round 3 in a fight of the night because he was freaking bleeding so bad his eye wouldn't even work. Guys, Gene Silva is scary. He hits with the power of, I don't know, a Dodge Ram truck. I don't freaking know. He is an absolute killer. When he's in that octagon and Gene Silva brings it, and he trains with Kyle Barallo. He trains with Carlos Brates. He trains with the best of the best out of Brazil. And I'm sure he's going to bring that energy here. Again, someone of a lesser skill level, the plus 430, Melsik Bagdasarian. The gun is 33 years old from Armenia, but now trains in California. Of his 8 wins, 5 knockouts. Both of his losses have came by submission. Fun enough fact. He actually had 3 canceled bouts in 2024. The last time this man fought was July 2023 when he got a decision win over Tucker Lutz. So it's been a while since we've seen Melsik Bagdasarian. And I'll tell you what, he's going to come back. He's going to get knocked out round one. He's going to take a little lick of Gene Silva's power, and he's going out like a light. Or, as we've seen, he has terrible, terrible takedown defense. Gene Silva will just take him down and submit him. Okay, Gene Silva's taking a lot of work at this point. Let me tell you that right off the bat. Give me Gene Lord Silva all day. You may not be Lord. Okay, you're not Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, but Gene Lord Silva, whatever your nickname means in terms of Brazilian, I'll back you. And honestly, he deserves a ranked opponent after he wins here. Not to jinx him. I hope I'm not jinxing a Gene Silva, but I do think he'll get this win pretty good and continue to elevate his MMA career. Following that, ladies and gentlemen, we get into the final 3 fights, and they are the 3 biggest of the whole night, and this one is crazy. So we were supposed to have Rob Font versus Dominic Cruz. Now, Dominic Cruz tore something in his elbow. He's now retired. It's unfortunate. So Rob Font has a new opponent. And you may be like, Zach, who is Rob Font's opponent? Is it a top 15 guy? No, it's an unranked competitor who's been chopping it up in the unranked scene of the UFC divisions. And here we are. Rob Font takes on the 16-0 Gene Matsumoto. What an opportunity for the kid. What an opportunity for the 25-year-old. This is going to be crazy. Rob Font, plus 140. Underdog is 21-8. Gene Matsumoto, the minus 195 favorite. 16-0, as I mentioned. 5'8 to 5'6. Rob has 2 inches in height. A notable 3 inches in reach. 71-68, since he has a boxing style. Orthodox stands for both of these gentlemen. Rob Font, you know him. You love him or hate him. He's the number 9 ranked bantamweight in the world. 37 years old from Massachusetts. 13 finishes and 21 career wins. 9 knockouts, 4 subs. He's only ever been submitted once in his 8 career losses. I mean, this dude is rarely, rarely getting out of there. Rob Font, last fought in October, won a decision over Kyler Phillips. It was close. It was really close, and that was really just him showing off the striking against Kyler Phillips. Before that, losses to Figueiredo, losses to Sanhagen, beat Andre Yanez, lost to Marlon Vera, lost to Jose Aldo. So it's been a kind of a tumultuous path for Don Fahn, who's been with the UFC since 2014. This is year 11 for him, and he's really earned his keep in the division. But back's against the wall, you're 37, taking on a guy 12 years your senior. I mean, this guy is so much younger, so much more ready for this than Rob Font, but we'll have to see. What do I know? We'll see how G. Matsumoto is in the octagon compared to how he is on paper. 25 years old from Brazil, 9 finishes and 16 wins, 3 knockouts, 6 subs. He was actually supposed to fight Chris Gutierrez March 8th, and they said, hey, Gene, how about you fight the number 9 guy of the world? And Gene's like, hey, you know what? Might as well. Can't pass on those opportunities in the UFC. Gene has gone 2-0 in the UFC, also won on Damian Cotera series. Got a guillotine choke of Dan Argueta in April, and then beat Brad Katona by decision in October, which was very, very good to see. Now, this is a very big step up in competition for Gene Matsumoto. However, I do think he's up for the task. I think he is 16-0. But wait a second. Wait a second, guys. There's been a curse on undefeated fighters this year. There has truly been a curse. There is something in the air. Don't be fooled by Rafael Estiva beating Jesus Aguilera last week. Don't be fooled by that. There's a curse in the air. And I just remembered it. Honestly, I would love to pick you, G. Matsumoto. G. Matsumoto might go out there and run Rob Font, but there's a curse in the air. Rob Font is not going to lose just right after Calvin Kattar lost. Give me Rob Font in this one. Yo, this is a last-second change for me. I was sold on G. Matsumoto. I have since changed my pick, and we are now going to go with, I guess I made it live, but in my mind I changed it. We're going to go with Rob Font. And to make matters even better, round 2 knockout. He's going to break him down. Gene's going to gas in round 2. And Rob is going to finish him. Wow, what am I saying? What am I doing? I'm so sorry, Gene. I've completely abandoned you. But there's just something about Rob Font. I haven't picked him. I haven't backed Rob Font in a long, long time. It's overdue for me to pick you, Rob Font. Let's get the dub here. Let's freaking see it. Co-main event is up next, ladies and gentlemen. Men's middleweight division as the number 12-ranked Anthony Hernandez takes on the number 9-ranked Brendan Allen. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. I mean, top 15 guys, what more could you want? Brendan All-In Allen is the plus 215 underdog, 24-6 professional record. Anthony Fluffy Hernandez, 13-2 with 1 no contest, is the minus 315 favorite. Brendan, 6'2", Anthony, 6'. Both men have a 75-inch reach, and both men are in the orthodox fighting position. Very, very cool. Let's kick it off with Brendan All-In Allen, 29 years young from Louisiana. 19 finishes and 24 wins, including 5 knockouts and 14 subs. This dude loves his rear naked chokehold submissions. 2 knockout losses and 1 submission loss make up his 6 career losses. This could be good. This is going to be good. Brendan Allen was on a 7-fight winning streak before running into Nazarene Imavov in Paris, who he out-grappled in round 1, then proceeded to lose the next 2 rounds too. But really, looking at the loss there, I mean, seeing what Nazarene did to Jared Cannonier, seeing what Nazarene did to especially Israel Adesanya, that was a different Nazarene that we saw. I mean, I don't know if Brendan Allen just had the style to beat him or if it's because it was in Paris or something, he had nerves, but Brendan Allen had Nazarene Imavov's number that entire night up until he began to gas halfway through round 2. Actually, had some moments around number 3 as well, but Brendan Allen, last loss was the Nazarene Imavov. Need I remind you, Nazarene Imavov is the number 1 ranked guy in the division, so Brendan Allen, coming in with some momentum, he loves his rear naked chokeholds. He truly does. He actually, on that 7-fight win streak, had 5 rear naked chokeholds, including 4 in a row. He's a very, very good grappler. His opponent, the favorite, the 31-year-old from California, rides a 6-fight winning streak, 11 finishes and 13 wins, 3 knockouts, and 8 subs. He also is a submission master. Both of his losses have came by knockout and are to Marcus Perez and Kevin Holland. Since losing to Kevin Holland, he hasn't skipped a beat. Submission of Rodolfo Vieira, who is the black belt hunter, as we learned last week. Submitted Marc-Andre Barriot, who we brought up. TKO'd Edmund Shabazzian, which sucks, but Edmund won last week, so we are happy. Then submitted Roman Kopilov, which is a great win. I mean, phenomenal. And then dominated Michel Pereira in his first ever main event. 152 significant strikes, 24, 10 takedowns. And by the way, got to finish 2.5 minutes into round number 5. So Anthony Hernandez is coming in with a plethora of positive momentum, but here's my thought process. People are not a fan of Brendan Allen. He's very cocky. He's very confident. But I am a fan of Brendan Allen. And I think his grappling has what takes the matchup with Anthony Hernandez. If Anthony Hernandez makes even the slightest mistake, he's going out. You know, I already know I knew Michel Pereira was better on the feet against Anthony Hernandez. His gas tank just was not there. If Brendan Allen can fix his gas tank from the last fight, which I think he can, he'll be able to withstand the takedown attempts for Anthony Hernandez. And if he can let the hands go, I've seen it. I've seen Brandon Allen. You know, I'm thinking about that Paul Craig fight. He can let the hands go when he needs to. Even Bruno Silva, he dropped. I think Brandon Allen can get this one done and wrap up a round three submission to shock. To just shock and awe. Shock and awe the entire crowd. Let's go with Brandon Allen, baby. Whoop. Let's do it. People love to hate him. I just hate to love him. I don't know if I said that correctly, but that's the statement I'm riding with. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we get into the main event of the evening. And is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? We'll have to see. As we head to the men's bantamweight division, as the number, where's he at? Seventh ranked Henry Cejudo takes on the number eight ranked Song Yadong. Wow. Already down to 7-8 in the rankings for them. Triple C, Henry Cejudo is the plus 215. I stand corrected. Henry's the underdog. Song Kung Fu Kid Yadong, -315 is the favorite. Ooh, I love to see it. 16-4 for Henry Cejudo. 21-7-1 with one no contest for Song Yadong. Goofy record. 5'8" to 5'4", Song is 4 inches in height. 67-64, Song has 3 inches in reach. Orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. Let's start with Triple C, ladies and gentlemen. The former double champion in the UFC, 38 years old, trains out of MMA Lab in Arizona. 8 finishes and 16 wins, 7 knockouts, 1 sub. He only has 1 knockout loss of his 4 losses, and that, of course, was to Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson. Henry Cejudo, we all know his story. He beats Demetrius for the belt in their rematch, then finishes TJ Dillashaw in 32 seconds, beats Muhammad Rice to become a double champion, knocks out Dominic Cruz, and then, for some reason, retires and takes 3 years off. One of the dumbest decisions I've ever seen. Comes back, takes Usman Sterling to a split decision, has his last fight in February of 2024, where Marab Dvashili dominated him. Really exposed that Marab Dvashili is as good of, if not better, grappler than Triple C Henry Cejudo. Henry is 38. He's getting up there in age, but I think his style is the style that will be needed to beat Song Yadong. But let's not look past Song Kung Fu Kid Yadong. -315. I don't know why I keep saying he's the underdog. He's not. 27 years old. Born in China, but has now been living and training in California, actually. 12 finishes and 21 wins, 9 knockouts, 3 subs. Of his 7 losses, he's been knocked out twice, and one of those was a injury stoppage, I should add. Song Yadong, as of late, I mean, before actually getting into the ranked title picture for the UFC, I mean, this guy was 8-2 in the UFC. He was incredible. Actually, 8-1 with a draw, and that draw was against Cody Stamann. Actually, he had a loss to Kyler Phillips in there, which I wasn't aware of, but then he takes on Corey Sandhagen. Fight gets stopped in round 4, then knocks out Ricky Simone in main event, dominates Chris Gutierrez in main event, and then took on Petr Yan and lost a close fight decision. I think Song Yadong's going to bring it. We know he can go 5 rounds. We know he has the gas tank, but it's just a matter of whose style is going to be the style to get it done. And in my mind, I would love to pick Song Yadong. I'm a fan of Song Yadong. If Song Yadong wins and I don't pick him, I'll probably be a bit sad. But I think Henry Cejudo is not going to lose this. I don't. I just think he's going to take it back to his roots, use his grappling, take him down. I'm going to see some ground and pound action, no submission. Henry Cejudo does not strike me as someone to land a submission, but I think he's going to do enough to get the win. And when he gets the win, he'll be going crazy. He'll be calling for title fights and stuff, but this will be competitive because, you know, Song Yadong, he is great striking. When he needs to turn up the grappling, he can, but grappling, Petr Yan and grappling, Henry Cejudo are two different things for Song Yadong. This should be a phenomenal main event. I'm excited for it. Hopefully this whole card can stay together. We've had so many cancellations. Listen to some of these. Adam Fugit and Billy Ray Goff was the original plan for what Nikola Vedrotarinov and Austin Vanderford turned into. Of course, Dominic Cruz and Rob Font. Mansoor was supposed to take on Antonio Tricoli. Tricoli pulled out. Curtis Blaydes was supposed to take on the unranked Rizvan Khuniyev. That fight was moved to UFC 314. Adam Fugit was actually supposed to take on Islam Dulatoyev before Billy Ray Goff tried to step in. Edson Barbosa versus Steve Garcia was supposed to happen on this card before Edson pulled out. And Catlin Vieira versus Macy Chison was supposed to happen on here, and Macy had to pull out. So we've had so many fight cancellations. Hopefully, these fights can all come to fruition. And when they do, I'm back in Henry Cejudo in the main event. But this should be good. A lot of even fights here, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of even fights. I mean, this is any man's game, any man's playoffs. And the winner of this is getting a top 5 guy. Next, it's just about guaranteed. So this is a must-win for the UFC fighters. That's all we got for today's episode, your official UFC Seattle predictions and preview, a little new UFC news, a little pop culture stuff. When is Dana White going to get on his Instagram Live? I've been waiting. Truly, 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 I've been waiting, and he hasn't. So we'll have to see. Guys, have a fantastic weekend. I already know I'm going to. Stay groovy. Stay sexy. I don't know if that's going to catch on, but as always, I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.